You know, we've been sharing the last few weeks about unity, and we've also encouraged ones, I don't know if Angie, if you could pop up the PowerPoint when you get a chance, was to, while we're doing this, we continue to encourage us to share our faith. You know, in Romans 10, it says, how can they believe unless someone tells them? And so I encourage you to share your faith. We do have little cards around the property here that just give on the back of it. It just gives some basics of how you share your faith, what you can do with that. Also encourage, we got invitation cards, encourage you to keep inviting ones. This should just be something because that's part of the kingdom of God is inviting ones to the kingdom of God. And again, every one of us is called as a missionary. Believe it or not, you are. Whether you accept that calling, that's up to you. But every one of us has a world, and in that world, there's different areas in that world that we get to touch, that you will touch, that nobody else here will. And so it's using and believing God to give you wisdom on how to touch that. You're not going to, as as Diane might touch at Ohio Northern, might mean not the same as Jerry Lang might touch somebody that he's involved with, or Art, might touch, or Bill Bowles or somebody. It's different ones, but believing God will give you wisdom how to be a missionary in your world. And so just encourage you to be a part of what's going on. I want to share a story here. There was a young lady, her name was Cindy, and she was in a Bible class at a seminary taught by a Professor Smith. And this professor was really good, sort of like Tom Milligan. He was really good at object lessons, loved to do object lessons. So when the students all walked into the class that day, there was a giant target on the wall, big giant target. And he told the students, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to take a marker, and right beside it on this table is a whole bunch of darts, these darts. And he goes, I want you to go up here, and I want you to draw a picture of somebody that you're angry with or that you've been upset with or something like that, that there's you disliked or something. Just draw a picture of them. And so they did, and different ones, like Cindy's friend drew a picture of her friend, who a girl that she knew. Her friend had a woman she knew, she drew a picture of because that woman stole her boyfriend. And this one person drew a picture of their little brother. But Cindy drew a picture of Professor Smith. So she drew a picture of him with all the details and all that. And then he said, okay, now I want you to take the darts and throw them as hard as you want. So this and these kids were, young people, they were just ripping, throwing them. It went right through the paper, just paper shredding it. And right before Cindy got up, the professor said, okay, I want you to go sit down now. And so that really upset her because she really wanted to throw that dart at his face. And so as they were sitting down, he went up and he took the target, the big giant target down. Well, behind it was a picture of Jesus. And it was shredded. I mean, his eyes were almost totally gone and everything. And it was just shredded to pieces. And then he said this. He said, he quoted Jesus. He says, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. So sometimes our target, we might not think it looks like Jesus, but there is that picture of him being there. And, we're talking about unity, and the unity affects every aspect of our life. It affects every relationship. Think about for those who are married. Have you ever had disunity? Is it fun to have disunity? Or in a family situation? Or at work? Is it when there's disunity? There's just our friendships. You ever had friends that there was just this disunity? Now, I'm not talking about just a disagreement. We're talking when things fall apart and there's just this unity that happens. And it can happen in church, it can happen in community, any place where there's relationships, there could be disunity. And so what is unity? Unity simply is a state of being united or joined as a whole. So there's something about being together. And I got a picture. This is it's actually called a Rolls-Royce Merlin engine, and it was built for airplanes. And it was basically back in World War II. The Royal Air Force put this in a lot of their planes. And in this plane, there are 14,000 parts. In this engine. 14,000 parts in just that engine. Now, that engine, flying somebody up in the air, especially in a battle, isn't it nice that it works well? Yes, sir.
Now, what if one of those parts would say, well, I'm sick of being a bolt. I want to be a flywheel, you know? And it could start being disgruntled. Then it could say, well, because I'm not a flywheel, I'm not going to be a bolt anymore. And it decides it's going to unloosen. So it could start affecting. Or it might start even worse. It might start convincing the other and sharing that revolt. That's right. And said all the bolts, hey, bolts, let's go. Let's bolt this engine. Yeah, I get it. Bolt this engine. Yeah, hey. Come on. I know. It's not that early. So anyways. And so they're just the same, but it's the same thing in life. You know, there's a sense of unity and working together and having a purpose together and having that focus. And God made every one of us, just as this has 14,000 parts, God made every one of us unique. And we have a unique purpose, a unique place, a unique position. And but in that, there still is an overall unity. Well, what is that? Well, in Ephesians 4, in the New Testament, it says this. Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body. There's not a bunch of bodies. There might be a lot of denominations in the world, but there's one kingdom, one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So there's one. So there's unity. That was the heart of God. In fact, he says, if you go on down there, Ephesians 4:11, he says, this is why Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip. That word equip means to fully furnish, to give you everything you need for his people, for works of service, for this reason. This is why you're equipped, for this reason, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So there's what the purpose really of church, of leaders in the church, is to bring unity of faith. Not just any faith, it's faith in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and become mature. He goes on down there and it talks about some things, you know, stuff, but he jumps on down in Ephesians 4:15 and said, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. Jesus doesn't have a bunch of bodies. He has one body. And that body works together. Think about your body if your body stopped working together as a unit. Let's say parts of your body decided they were going to rebel. Or they were going, is that healthy, Dr. Ray? No. No, it usually can cause sickness, disease, it can even cause death. And so we consider why it's so important for the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean we all have to be alike, but there's still a sense of being together as one and serving and who we're serving. And the last part there, just share, it says, and that body builds itself up in love. There's our responsibility. God did all this, but then there's our responsibility. So what does mature faith look like? Well, it looks like Jesus. I mean, that's mature faith. We need a clear target. If we want to know, okay, what does Jesus look like? I think you can, if you want to narrow it down, you know, like me, it helps if I can read it. Is that true?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, she says. It helps if I can read it. I mean, you could tell me a lot of stuff. If you want to tell me, write it out and show it to me. I mean, it helps. It just helps when I can read it. Jesus said this. Says, love the Lord your God. This is Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. So there is a caption of what maturity looks like. That's not complicated. Doesn't sound complicated. Love. Love God and love one another. And let him show you. That's the relationship. Let him show you what that means. What is that for you? You know, different ones of us receive and hear from God different ways. You know, some of us may be reading. Some of us may be listening. Some of us may be seeing. Some of us may be feeling. You know, there's no right and wrong. We all need all of us, because I need your seeing and your hearing and your feeling and listening. It helps me understand more about who God is. So we need one another to share our experience and that relationship we have with God. In our membership, as we're going through, it says, I will protect the unity of my family by living a godly life. We talked about that last week. This week says, by acting in biblically love toward other members. Well, what is biblical love? Well, you know, when we talked about godly, we did different terms and what they mean. We said godly, well, that can mean a lot of stuff. But narrowing it down to what God means by godly, again, it's looking at Jesus, reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit, one another. We represent God, and we can see what godly is in one another. How many of you ever watched somebody else's life, and it helped you in your Christian life? That's us seeing godliness in one another. Hanging around God, worshiping God, obeying Him. The second point there was acting in biblical love. So what is love? Well, you know, we get our love. There's lots of definitions of love in the world. A song. You ever hear a song about love? There's all kinds of songs about love. But is it biblical love? You know, there's all kinds of movies out there on love. And there's some great movies out there that's really got some good stuff. And there's a lot of movies that aren't. I remember going in sometimes, some of these videos. Okay, I want to go there. And then, you know, there's a poem of a family. Your family might have helped you understand love, depending on what kind of family you're brought in. Friends, other people. We have all kinds of definitions of what love could be. And last week, I shared six exciting things for all of you about what it is to know what unforgiveness is in our life. And I know you're really excited about hearing that. So I want to repeat that. So, and this may be, you know, this possibly might have unforgiveness in your life if you always keep score of other people's wrongs. You might have unforgiveness if you feel like you got to boast a lot about your own record. You might have unforgiveness if you complain a lot. You might have unforgiveness if you have a martyr syndrome. Like, hey, I'm the one who does all the work here. I'm the one. What about me? You might have unforgiveness if you tend to alienate yourself or even others or divide or separate. And lastly, you might have unforgiveness if you're envious or jealous or angry because someone else gets blessed. Now, last week when I left here, Grace shared something. She said, Dad, did you ever, you want to come up and share what that ever was? I thought, no, I didn't.
Okay, so is this
on? Let me see. Yes. Is this on, Pat?
No.
Yeah, you got it. He's going to walk over there and assist you. We thank you. Thank you, Pat. Okay, now try.
Okay. So the thing that reminded me of this was an album of Adventures in Odyssey. They had an album about 1 Corinthians 13. And as he was talking about what unforgiveness is, it just kind of came into my mind that unforgiveness is generally the opposite of love. Because I have 1 Corinthians 13 here, and it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And so, as we saw with unforgiveness about keeping score and boasting and complaining and being envious, it's just, unforgiveness is the opposite of love. And as I was sitting there, I came up with something else that I didn't tell you about, but I forget where it says in the Bible, but it says that God is love. And so thinking that if God is love, then wouldn't unforgiveness also be the opposite of God?
Thank you, Grace. So when she shared that last week, I go, that's right. It's true. That is all the opposite of 1 Corinthians 13. You know, when I read those, we can read through here and think, wow, that's great. Now, when I look at it, I think, wow. It's like, or maybe say it different, like, whoa. It's like, Okay. I mean, and this is a great target, great focus. Lord, help me love. This is biblically love, biblical love. This is God's love. Lord, help me do that. But I think, I need your help. You know, in Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was talking about why Israel missed it back in the Old Testament. And when he wrote this, he says, why did they miss it? They had everything. They had the cloud and the pillar of fire. They had the temple. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They had the patriarchs. They had all the promises. They had the law. They had all the stuff. Why did they miss it? What happened? Now, the thing is, I always look at that back there. I thought, they're human. If I were back there, I would have missed it. I would have been just bad or just messed up or even worse. You know, the grace of God. But he says this. He says, why? Because they pursued it not by faith, but by works. Now, I think, well, that was them. That could never happen to me. I mean, we could have a great place to meet. We have great worship. We could have all kinds of Bible translations. I don't remember how many translations there are now out there. We could have access on the internet for every speaker in the world. We can have all this stuff. But can I still miss it? Yes. Because I'm not pursuing by faith. What is that faith? I think, what was that? What do you mean by faith? The thing is that means that it's not out of duty. If you start making your life a duty and your Christian life out of duty and you miss God and God's not in there, it's shipwreck time. You're gonna get out of it. And so part of faith is always God is a part of that. Always it's a heart issue. It's not replacing God. That's what they did. If you look at it, they basically were still doing all the stuff that the Bible commanded, and then they started adding stuff. They started, well, you know, God's just not enough. I'm going to add this. I'm going to add Baal worship and idol worship and all this other stuff. That's exciting. You know, that sort of gets boring over there. God's not boring. If God's boring, then your faith... Lost my ear. If God's boring... Then I would say you need to, first of all, ask him to forgive you for missing it. You know, sometimes we fear finding out we're not doing something right. And I don't enjoy that, but I also know when it comes to God, it's a good thing. It's because he loves us. I have a video we're going to share here. And I don't know if you guys ever heard of Rick Hoyt. Dick and Judy Hoyt, 1962. Rick was diagnosed with spastic quadriplegic with cerebral palsy, and he basically couldn't function in any way, vocally, anything, and he couldn't do anything. He couldn't speak, and his dad was a retired from the from Air Force as a colonel, and they built this computer for Rick that he could interact. And with different letters, he would tap his head on this thing, and it would spell out stuff. And he learned to talk like that. And so when they brought him home, after he learned all that, they sent him to learn all that. He brought him home, and they were expecting the first thing he would say was, hi, Dad, or hi, Mom, or something like that. And the first thing he said was, go Bruins, because... The Boston Bruins were in the Stanley Cup that year. So he had his own world going on. He just couldn't communicate. He just could not, you know, say that. And one day at his son at 15, his son tapped out on the computer and spoke, you know, through that. It was able to verbalize what he was tapping out. There was a lacrosse player who was paralyzed in an accident. And Rick, the paralyzed son, wanted to do a 5K to help with this. And he asked his dad, so his dad agreed. His dad was not a runner. You know, he was retired, so, you know, he'd never run like this before, and it was a 5K, so they did it. And when they were done, basically, Rick said, Dad, when I'm running, it feels like I'm not handicapped. So we're going to show a little video about that. If we could turn down the lights there, if you would. Thank you, Jeff. So far, they completed 1,000 races, and that was one they rode all the way across the country. And in fact, their 1,000th race was 2013 Boston Marathon, and they could not complete it because of the bombing, so they had to go back.
And you might wonder, well, I mean, we consider his dad retired when he started running. So many years. But the crazy thing is that there is another guy that's taken his place that's helping to do all this. One of the things Rick said, one of his desires would be that, he said, the thing I like most is for my dad to sit in this chair and I would push him for once. That's one of the things he said he would love to do. You think, well, what's that got to do with anything with this message? Well, you know, we read this definition of love. We look at what it is to be like godly. And we realize we can't do it. Rick couldn't do that by himself. His dad. But we have a Father. Father God, who said that he would give us the Holy Spirit to help us. To help us, he said, but you will receive, I think we got it up here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Franklin County, Delaware County, Marion County, Hardin County, Union County, Morrow County, Wyandotte County. You will be my witnesses. You know, and sometimes we read that and we think, witness, you know, that means I'm going to go witness. But you know, Jesus said, he said, it's in John, that he says that we will know, people will know that we are his. It says, by this everyone will know, John 13:35, that you are my disciples if you love one another. So that power, sometimes we immediately think, well, I'm going to go, you know, and it could include that, pray for the sick and heal and all that kind of stuff, but just living life, loving. We need God's power to love. We need God's power because technically we are like Rick when it compares to trying to live like God. We need the Father to carry us and to push us. And in that, we get to participate. Just like Rick said, I feel free. We get to participate in that when we get to share that, allow him to be a part of that. So what does biblically love look like? It looks like Jesus, 1 Corinthians 13. You know, worshiping God. Whatever you do in life, if you keep worshiping God for who he is, your life will line up. We could take 1 Corinthians 13 and make a law out of it. We say, I'm going to do this. The first thing we say is, Lord, I can't do this. I need your help. I need your power of your Holy Spirit to help me. In, In Philippians 4:13, if we could have our musicians come back up, please. It says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That means I can do all this. I can love. I can forgive. I can believe. I can have hope. I can love my family. I can be a husband that God wants me to be. If you're a woman, be a wife. Be a friend. Be the employee. Be the employer. Be the leader. Be the servant. Be whatever. I can do all of this through God who helps me. Have you ever had anybody that you really struggled to forgive? Anybody really struggled to love? Then we have this promise. Lord, I can't do this. I'm handicapped. I'm disabled when it comes to doing this. I need your help. I need you to help me to do this. If we could go ahead and stand. If you're willing to say, Lord, I want unity to be a part of my life. I want unity, and I want your unity, God, not what I define as unity. I mean, unity, you can agree with somebody and be totally not unified with them because of the heart issues. But you're saying, God, I want unity to be a part of my life. Then if you just say to God, say, Lord, I'm willing. You say that to him, if you're willing to have unity, his unity, say, Lord, I'm willing. And knowing that we need the Holy Spirit to help us to have this kind of life, to have that biblical love flowing through our life. If you say to the Lord, so Lord, I'm willing. You know, the willingness part is our part. The doing part is God's part. So Lord, I'm willing. Now show me, help me to do this.
So really, if you would, let's pray together. We're going to welcome just the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible, Jesus promised, if you ask anything according to my will, it will be done for you. We just heard his will is unity. We just heard his will is to fill us with the Holy Spirit. So let's just welcome that. Heavenly Father, we do pray this day according to your will, that you would help us be unified, not just here in our church family, but Lord, with your people all over, God. Lord, with one another and families and households and relationships and jobs at school and friendships, Lord. Teach us to be one who brings unity, Lord, not division, but Lord, your love, your godliness, God. We welcome that, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask if our personal ministry team will come up. The ones that will be up here, the personal ministry team, they're here for anybody who would like prayer. Whether you're a guest with us, you've been here forever, these ones can pray with you. What they pray is confidential, so they're not going to spread it. You're not going to see it on Facebook or in a newspaper. If you've never made that initial commitment to Jesus Christ, say, Lord, we've heard many times today about him and him being our Savior. This is a great day to do that. If you're not sure, this is a great time to have pray with ones. But they can pray with you about anything you would like prayer for. But before you take off, we're going to close in a song and prayer. Before you take off, try to find somebody maybe you don't usually talk to after the service and talk to them. Just a couple minutes. Say hi. Find out what's going on in their life. It's very important to them. So God bless you and be the church of Jesus Christ.
Your love.